While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, I guess we could say a new paint job, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilence. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your mind, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written." Alas for the woman, for the women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Just by way of note, this took place in 70 AD, and the Gentiles ever since then have been treading Jerusalem underfoot. Verse 25, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all this has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, anybody get outside and say, "Brr, it's cold." I mean, we broke a record a while back, right? A couple weeks ago, we broke like a 118-year-old record. Does it really get that cold here in North Texas or what? Obviously, what are we seeing? Changing of the seasons. It's fascinating to see how things are changing. And I don't know, I spent Every day, time looking at my weather app, concerned for my poor succulents outside, because I didn't dig them all up before I left. And so the sleeping bag and the old World War II tent took care of one of them. I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to dig that up, because it's gotten pretty big in North Texas. I used to dig up parts and pieces of it and give it to people in the congregation out in California. But it's getting cold. We're telling there's a change of seasons. And how many of you like the changes of seasons? It's kind of fun, isn't it? It's nice to not just have the dull and boring heat or the dull and boring cold. It's nice to have the seasons, and we know what that's like. But, you know, seasons can be different kinds of seasons. Look at your front page of your worship folder. You see different seasons in that right picture that just looks like a circle with different colors. This is the liturgical calendar. And it's a long-standing tradition. It goes back a couple of thousand years almost in the Christian church. And it is intended to be a teaching tool to help us understand the seasons of our lives. And just as much as you have physical seasons of life, you also have spiritual seasons of life. Let me explain. How many of you find yourself living in the season of joy and there's always going to be something happening great next, the season of Easter? Anybody? How many would like to live in the season of Easter a little bit longer? You know, I've worked with people over my ministry that have gone through incredibly terrible things. And they've been in the season of Lent, where they've learned how to suffer and deal with challenges, whether it has to do with the loss of a child or struggles in a marriage or dealing with a job that's suffocating. The season of Lent is a time that isn't without purpose, but it's a time of struggle for us. Although for us, we understand also that the season of Lent is the passion of Christ and what he willingly suffered so that we would be rescued. The season of Pentecost is the long season of like 24 Sundays. We're actually still in the season of Pentecost. The back of the bulletin says 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. I had one pastor say one time, gosh, 24 Sundays of green. Like, you know, do we really have to do this? Well, we do. We did. But, you know, this is a tradition that if we don't understand the meaning of it, it's not necessarily a good tradition. It becomes an issue of, do we have the right readings for the Sunday or do we have the right pyramids up? By golly, why don't we have green up? It's Pentecost. You know, so there's these parts and pieces to the liturgical church year that can just become rote tradition, and that's when tradition becomes bad. What God would have us understand is that our life is filled with all kinds of spiritual seasons. You may find yourself going through the whole liturgical calendar in one day, where you started out with hope, like the kids for the first advent of Jesus. I can't wait for Christmas. How many of you have changed from I can't wait for Christmas to why doesn't the Lord just come back and take us all to the land of forever, huh? I mean, that's what I would like to have. No offense. I think today would be great, and I mean that most sincerely. So I've been living, looking forward to the second advent for decades now. But I've also had to live in the season of Epiphany, which is a time of rude awakening, discovering who God is after we've failed and fumbled, but how he loves and forgives. You know, Epiphany, according to this, is also the season of green, but it's like the growing pains of a teenager. It's learning a lot of painful things. That happens when you get married, huh? Happens when you have kids. You know, painful growth happens when you're dealing with a new job or challenges with cantankerous neighbors that until that time were really great. Epiphany is a time of rude awakening where the growing is fast like the growing pains of a kid. And it's a teaching tool to help us understand the depth of our spiritual life with Christ. We can't always live in the season of anticipation, Advent. I mean, it's nice to look forward to the promotion or to the marriage or the birth of the next child. But then when the child comes or when the promotion comes, it's like, why did I do this? Or why did we do this, honey? And it's like, okay, well, we were really hopeful, and this is really a gift, but we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and figure out how to make this work now. You know, and this happens in our life where we go through these powerful times. Now, if you look at the picture on the front page, you know, we say that one half of the church year is the festival side, where we focus on the life of Christ and what he did to come and rescue us from ourselves and from death and the power of the devil. And then the other side is the ordinary side, or the season of the church, where God's people are empowered to carry out their identity, their life, in the various ministries that make up their life, whether it's in a family or at work, a neighbor, community, part of a congregation. But it's just a teaching tool. Keep in mind that your life and my life in Christ cannot be lived out any other than in real time. And your life and my life in Christ, our life as a church, is there's mystery to it. There's miracle to it. I mean, I know I'm a new creation, and in God's eyes, I'm good and holy and above reproach. But sometimes all I do is see my sinfulness in the season of Lent. How about you? And yet our identity in Christ is one of being blameless and holy. And that's the season of Easter. And that's the season of Pentecost. And that's the season of Christmas. The Christmas present that came to make us holy. God would have us live in the season of Easter and Christmas. And yet we also admit that there are times when we're just waiting for the results from the tests, or waiting to hear the news back, wondering how one of our friends is doing. It's been a long time now, but my son Max used to pray, thanking God for the birth of baby Jesus, for the longest time. And I'm praying, come Lord Jesus, come quickly, for the second advent. But no matter where you're at on the liturgical calendar, I know it says we're the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, but where are you at? Are you in a time of anticipation and waiting with some hope? Or are you dreading something that's coming your way, like you're stepping into the 40 days of Lent? Or have you traveled all around the liturgical calendar in less than a week? You know, this is our life in Christ, and it's meant to help us understand. Today it's kind of like God is pulling the spiritual fire alarm. This is a fire drill. Be ready. I'll show up when you don't expect. One day, this won't be a fire drill. He will come back to judge the living and the dead, and we will stand before Almighty God. And the only way we can stand before a God who can see everything in our life with divine scrutiny of it all is to get behind Jesus and say, I'm with this guy who died for me. And in him, I know you love me, Father. I mean, that's how we can face Judgment Day. Not in fear, shaking in our boots, but in the faith of knowing that Jesus, his first advent, his perfect life, sacrificial death, has prepared us to be ready to go to the shores of forever on Judgment Day, knowing that we've already experienced Judgment Day when we were brought to a saving faith in Jesus, understanding that we are forgiven and loved by God. So I think it's going to get colder. How about you? May have to dig up that gargantuan succulent next to the garage. Any winter preparations at your home that you need to be careful with? You know, you got to be aware of the signs of the times, right? But how can we be prepared for Judgment Day when it's the end of human history as we know it and the beginning of life forever? We can be prepared knowing that Jesus came to do everything necessary for us to stand before our God, holy and blameless, covered by his blood. And in the meantime, we can help people in our lives understand the signs, the spiritual signs of their lives, and what it means to be loved by the one who came to see to all our needs so that we would be prepared for the day when forever is brought into reality and is no longer any liturgical church year going round and around. It's interesting. I went to a pastors and wives conference with Karen years ago, back in my hometown in Jackson, Wyoming. The congregation that was holding the seminar for everybody knew me. They flew us in, and it was with a bunch of Independent Baptist pastors, some of them I'd known for a long, long time. And it was fascinating. The guys got together in one of our sessions. We were talking about how hard it is to preach the big picture, you know, that Scripture has laid out about our life in Christ. And they talked about going through Romans and you know, the captivity epistles and the Old Testament books of Jeremiah and whatnot. And they said, well, boy, it's just so hard to get the big picture. And so I said to them, well, this is what we do in the Lutheran Church. So I gave them my 3-minute stump speech. I know this is a little longer. But I gave my 3-minute stump speech on the liturgical calendar. And they said, man, that's exactly what we need in our churches. And of course, I offered up the idea that it wouldn't be bad to preach through Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And interestingly enough, quite a few years ago here, we actually went through 1st and 2nd Corinthians. But it's fascinating, whether we're going through the book of the Bible or we're looking at the big picture, it's fascinating how you see the spiritual season and the little signs of it by God's design for our life in Christ. So no matter where you're at in the liturgical church here, trust that Christ has you covered and that everything necessary for your departure and mine is prepared because of what he did for us, because he paid attention all along. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.